The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, in faith and humanity, Salamu Alaikum, and so welcome to this program entitled Today's Special. Today we're going to speak about loving the world in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا.
Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Wednesday, is the 19th of the month of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of Isfan, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Taha, verse 100 to 103. We'll listen
to it. إنه يحمل يوم القيامة وزرا.
Whoever turns away from it, then indeed he will bear on the day of resurrection a burden.
خالدين فيه وساء لهم يوم القيامة حملا.
Abiding eternally therein, and evil it is for them on the day of resurrection as a load.
يوم ينفخ في الصور ونحشر المجرمين يومئذ زرقا.
The day the horn will be blown, and we will gather the criminals that day, blue-eyed.
يتخافتون بينهم إن لبثتم إلا عشرا.
They will murmur among themselves, "You remained not but 10 days in the world."
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters, the sinners shall whisper with each other about the length of their stop in the intermediate world. Some of them say that they had tarried there for only 10 days, and they do not know how long it had been. This state of their speaking in low voice may be for the great horror that they feel in themselves because of seeing the scenery of the hereafter, or because of the intense of weakness and feebleness in them. We're speaking about the reality of the world. Man is the child of this physical world, nature being his mother, and he the offspring of water and dust. The love for this world is implanted in his heart since the early time of his development and growth. As he grows, this love increases. One account of the faculties of desires and the organs of deriving pleasure that have been granted to him by God for the sake of the preservation of individuals and species, this love grows day by day. But if our hearts become aware of the fact that this world is the lowest of the worlds and the house of decline and change and the realm of imperfection and destruction, and that there are other realms beyond death, each of which is eternal, perfect, permanent, where life is bliss, our hearts would naturally acquire the love of that world and would abhor this world.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with seeking worldly pleasures and seeking this world for the sake of this world, for itself, as viewed in Islam. based on the Quranic instructions, we understand that we find that this world is like a very fastly passing afternoon. In the Surah Al-Asr, we find that it's indicated that in this transitory life, I mean, the life in this world, we find that the life in this world is analogized to a very passing afternoon. And afternoon usually comes, certainly after afternoon, we find dusk, evening, darkness. Now we find that those people who are cognizant, who are blessed enough to understand, to appreciate, to seize the opportunity, they will make the most of this transitory short time span, that is, this afternoon. However, those people who are very much and easily deceived by this worldly life, they will be the losers. In this regard, we find that in the Surah Ghafir, verse 39, it's indicated, يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. O people, إِنَّمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Certainly, life in this world is just a tool, just an object, I mean, quite a worthless object. وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. However, the afterlife, the world after this world is the world of residence. We find that in the world hereafter, the people not only will receive the effects of and the influence and effects of whatever they had done in this world, rather the fate in the world hereafter will hardly be changed.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every God.
Today is a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
The world and worldliness, the relation between man and the world. Dear friend, in the view of Islam, neither has the world been created without a purpose, nor has man stayed into it aimlessly. There have been and are some schools of thought which view the world with pessimism. In this view, the existing order of the universe is far from being perfect. There have existed other schools which considered man's entry into the world of existence to be the result of such cosmic error, as if man has strayed into it. From the viewpoint of Islam, the relations of man to the world is not that of the prisoners with his prison. Rather, it is the kind of relation that exists between a peasant and his farm, or a merchant and the marketplace. The world is a school for man, his training ground, and a place where he can acquire perfection.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been. So close, everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawma al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
Now, how to control Allah for this dunya, this world, compelling too much love of dunya as adults. As adults, we still fall for the same traps we did as children. Similarly, the cure for this disease of too much love of the dunya is the same. When we want the latest and the greatest toy and become obsessed with it and feel like we can't live without it, we can look to those who have less than us. Allah's Messenger said, "Look at those who stand at a lower financial level than you, but don't look at those who stand at a higher level than you, for this would make the favor conferred upon you by Allah insignificant in your eyes." So, when we feel the urge to compete with each other in material wealth or possessions, things that will not help you even a little in the hereafter, replace that competition with the competition in good deeds and gaining religious knowledge, things that will build mansions and gardens for us in the hereafter.
Now, what even complicates things in our digital era, the era of social media, is that we're constantly coming up with new things to attach to. It's not only now that you're attached to objects. It's not only that. You're now attached to your accounts, to your posts, to your Facebook profile, to the profile picture that you put, right? How many times do you go through your photos searching for that right photo to put on your profile? And then you look at it, you adjust it, you use all these crazy apps to give you that better image, that better tone, that better color, that better shading. And you keep looking at it 10, 20, 30, 50 times a day. I know some people, they look at their profile picture 100 times a day. Because we're attached to our own images, to our own face. And then you have this whole world of selfie obsessions. Allahu Akbar. Let's not get started with that. We're attached. It's normal. It's natural. Because we human beings, we love ourselves and everything that has to do with us. So we're constantly trying to project ourselves. And a lot of times we're trying to get attention. Now this is normal, natural human behavior. This doesn't mean you're a bad person if you experience this. But this means that this is part of your struggle. You need to work on this. You need to do something about this. So we find that sometimes this attachment becomes excessive with our gadgets, with the tools that we have. How many families, my dear brothers and sisters, suffer, especially marital relationships, when one of the spouses or both of them are extremely addicted to their gadgets, to their phones? How many families have been broken up because of that?
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and let us start the day with a short and sweet saying from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Say good wording, and it will be your distinctive feature. Do good deeds, and you will be reckoned with its people.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the tradition of Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, in which he narrated to one of his close companions, Hisham, we have reached the 22nd section of this tradition. And as those who have been following it must have noticed the beauty of this tradition and the important ethical principles and the importance of the status of knowledge. Again, knowledge has many meanings. We do not want to get into that at this moment. But one of the most important meanings of knowledge, and of the intellect rather, which gains that knowledge, is the rational faculty that we as human beings have. The ability to understand principles, the ability to understand universals, and so on and so forth. Again, this is a discussion that, you know, requires a lengthy explanation from logic and philosophy, and we leave it to those who are more experienced and more learned than I. So in this section of the tradition, the Imam alayhi salam wants to indicate a particular person, a person who has intellect. And this is that the intellectual person knows which of the two sides of a coin to choose. Either he will choose wisdom, or will he choose this world. And obviously a person of intellect, a person with rationale, will obviously choose wisdom. For it is something that is of great benefit to him, both in this world and in the hereafter. So the Imam says that, O Hisham, one with intellect is pleased, but simple pleasures of this material world, on the condition that he has wisdom. If a person has wisdom, even if he has a very, you know, simple life, he is content by this wisdom, enables him to be content with what he has. One reason may be is because he understands that the risk and the sustenance and this life that he has been given comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's content with it. However, on the flip side, this very person with intellect, however, he is never pleased with simple wisdom just because he has the pleasures of the material world. is not content with understanding simple things. No, he wants more. But not more in terms of the world, more in terms of understanding, of conceptualizing, of getting closer towards the truth, which is itself Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why they have profited in the bazaar or in the marketplace of life, because they are seeking higher wisdom. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum assalam, Brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verses 43 and 44 of Surah Hud, recited by Brother Qasim Muqaddami. The audience, let's listen to it, preceded by its English translation.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. The son replied, I will betake myself to a mountain. It will save me from the water. Noah said, This day there is no savior from the decree of Allah, except for him on whom he has mercy. And a wave came in between them, so he was among the drowned. And it was said, O earth, swallow up your water, and O sky, withhold your rain. And the water was made to subside, and the decree was fulfilled. And it rested on Mount Judi, and it was said, Away with the people who are wrongdoers.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال سآوي
الماء
وحال بينهما الموت فكان من المغرقين. وقيل يا
Welcome back, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of verses 43 and 44 of Surah Al-Hud, recited by the outstanding Quran reciter, Brother Qasim Muqaddami, who is from Iran. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I believe this is the fourth part of the recitation of Brother Qasim Muqaddami. And just as a reminder, we said in the first part that this recitation was heard by the Supreme Leader of Iran, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, and he very much liked this recitation. And he said that he sent a message to this reciter, and he said that if it wasn't for the host who was basically praising you by saying Allah and, you know, encouraging him to continue his recitation, he would think that this is an Egyptian reciter who is reciting the Quran. And this could be due to several factors. One of them is that he's an Arab himself. He's from Khuzestan province.
Yes.
So Arabs, they have a good Arabic accent, so they could easily recite the Quran in a way that the listener can tell that they are Arab.
And very good tajweed,
exactly. And of course, this reciter has won an international competition, which, you know, it means that he is very skilled, and also he's a very adept and proficient reciter of the Quran.
As well as the national competition he won, actually.
The requirement of entering the international competition is winning the national competition.
In Iran,
yes.
So, okay, let's talk about Tajweed, brother.
Yes, in verse 43, we have another matul munfasil, sa'awi ila. We have a long vowel followed by a hamzatul qat'a. And because they're in two separate words, we have matul munfasil.
Disjunct mat.
Yeah, and Brother Qasim Mughaddami, he's reciting, he's reading the Maddul Munfasils in Qasr with Qasr, which means he's only lengthening them to two vowel counts, just like a normal long vowel, such as Qala, Sa'a, Sa'awi ila. So there's no extra lengthening.
That's right.
Then we have the word Ya'a Simuni, where the sod is pronounced with tafkhim at the lowest level due to the kasra. Ya'a Simuni, not Ya'a Simuni. Okay, so you have to make sure you don't apply too much tafkhim.
We have the root of the tongue raised.
Yes, that's right.
But the lips are spread.
Yes, and yeah, simuni, sim. Also, the root of the tongue, I think, is less raised than whenever we have yeah, simuni. It's not just the shape of the lips; it's also part of the root of the tongue.
To decrease the level of tafkhim, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Min al ma. Now here you have the choice between the number of vowel counts you have lengthened the Maddul Munfasil, which could be 4 or 5.
Maddul Muttasil, actually, the conjunction.
Yeah. Or you could lengthen it to 6 vowel counts, because it becomes Mad'aridul Lissukun. Up to 6 vowel counts, because the Hamza becomes Sakin. We give the Sukun, we do Waqful Iskan. And as a result, because we have a long vowel, it becomes mad'aridu lis-sukun, and mad'aridu lis-sukun, you're allowed to lengthen it to 2, 4, or 6 vowel counts.
So here we have two options, actually.
Either
maddul muttasil, as a maddul muttasil, it should be lengthened to 5 vowel counts at most.
Yeah.
And as a mad'aridu lis-sukun, we can lengthen it to 6 vowel counts.
Yeah, that's right. قال لا عاصم اليوم صي. Again, the sod has the lowest level of tafkhim. Min amr Allah. We have ilhar of nun sakina here. The nun sakina is pronounced completely
because of the letter of the throat. That
yeah,
is
which comes
amr,
after
hamza.
The nun. Yeah, the hamza. Let's move on to verse 44. Pay attention to how Brother Qasim Mughaddami pronounces the lods. Ya Allah. See, we hear this lengthening of this consonant
that
before it's even pronounced. Yes. وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ أَقُلْعِي وَغِيضَّلْ. See, it's, we have, even before it's released, we hear the lengthening of this consonant. And that is why Lod is said to have the characteristic of Rahawa, because its timing becomes just like Rahawa. When
fricative, actually.
Yeah, like a weak fricative when istitala is applied.
Something like seen.
Yeah, seen is also a letter of rahawa. Like sheen, like yeah, like wow, like kha, ha, ha. These are all letters of rahawa. We have qalqala and the word qaf. The qaf is sakin and it's a letter of qalqala, so we have to apply qalqala. وَأَقْوَلِعِي Aqli, right whenever you pronounce the qaf, the articulator has to come apart quickly. Aqli, you don't say aqli.
You don't have to track the sound.
Yeah.
Thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
كتاب الله كتاب الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We talked about merits of recitation of the Quran yesterday, and we have a follow-up today about a concept which is mentioned in the Quran, and that is حق التلاوة. There is a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. According to this hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, وَيَرْجُونَ وَعَدَهُ. They have hope in promises of the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء. When a mu'min reads this, he has great hope without doubt. If there is any doubt, it's whether I am fulfilling this or not. There is no doubt about other side. If a kareem, a generous person, gives you a promise, you don't doubt him. You doubt yourself. Am I going to do what he says or not? So whatever va'ad, whatever promise is in the Quran, you have to take it seriously and have hope in that, trust in that. وَيَخْشَوْنَ عَذَابَهُ. And if there is a threat of punishment, is wa'id, is a threat of punishment, they are fearful. They take it seriously.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منام سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. So as you have been previously with us, we were discussing the concepts which have appeared in the text of the ziyarat. Previously, we talked about the political and dynamic aspects in the different texts of our ziyarat, and we said that there are two important elements in them. The first is testimony, and the next is stand, or mawqif. With regard to the latter, we said that history is not just about the past events. Some battles that took place, just like Siffin and Karbala, are so decisive, and those days, those battles can be called the days of separation, Ayyamul Furqan, which you have to actually take and choose your side. We talked about one form of mawqif and stand, and today we're going to mention another one, pleasure and anger. These two terms are known as rida and sakhat, which are parts of wala and bara'a. And these two things, these two terms actually mean to be pleased with what the friends of Allah are pleased with, to be angry at that which they are angry at. You may have come to know that the elements of pleasure, elements like anger, love, and hatred, these things are among the most obvious signs of faith and iman, and they are from the constituents of wala and bara'. And besides, they imply the real profundity of a political stand, because without them, a political stance would be superficial. It would be non-resistant.
Alhamdulillah, Malik al-Mulk, Mujri al-Fulk, Musakhir al-Riyah, Faliq al-Isbah, Dayan al-Din, Rabb al-Alamin. Alhamdulillah, ala hilmihi ba'da ilmih. والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام
There are some phrases in the ziyarat of Lady Fatima alayha salam referring to the elements of pleasure and anger. In some parts of this ziyarat, we read, I take Allah and His angels as witnesses that I am pleased with whom you are pleased with. I am angry with whom you are angry with. And then it continues to the other part, which is anger and dissociation. It continues saying, I dissociate myself from whom you dissociated yourself. I am a friend of whom you befriended, and I am hostile toward whom you were hostile. I hate whom you hated and love whom you loved. Now, with this short look at pleasure and anger, you may think that this concept is really close to friendship and dissociation, and it is close, but they are not the same. It seems that pleasure and anger is somehow more general, and it can also have the concept of friendship and dissociation within it.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the merciful God will come towards you.
Paradise, thank you, Allah. It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Another phrase in the same ziyarah of Lady Fatima alayhi salam says, I bear witness that I am indeed the friend of he who befriended you and an enemy of him who was your enemy. I am at war with him who was at war with you. Having that said, you may remember in the beginning programs, in the earlier programs, when we started talking about the reality of supplication and dua, we said that a true servant is the one who is not asking why and why should I do such and such. The true meaning of servitude is to be pleased with what the Almighty Allah is pleased with. And one branch of that pleasure can be seen as one of the forms of stance in our ziyarat. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in gharn mojiza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم. Welcome, dear listeners, to another edition of The Man Who Changed the World. We are with our guest, Dr. Mehdi Torabi. Before we begin our program, let's listen to a few words about unity from Imam Khomeini.
این مسلمان ها که ادعا می کنند که ما تابع پیغمبر اکرم هستیم، ما تابع قرآن کریم هستیم.
To these Muslims who claim that they are the followers of the Holy Prophet, the followers of the Noble Quran, well, come and see what this Quran says and what you say. You can clearly see that they are causing us all these troubles, and yet they say, we are Muslims. Is this Islam for you to just say that you are Muslims? But because America is such and such, is this what you should be doing? They give their oil to America and give away whatever belongs to their nation. Their nation is helplessly and wretchedly being trampled underfoot by their injustice, and yet they claim they are Muslims. Is it even possible to become a Muslim by making the claim of being one?
و بعضی ادعا میکنن که ما مسلمان هستیم. مگه با ادعا انسان مسلمان میشد؟ میگن ما مسلمان هستیم و میخوان که اتحاد باشد. ایران هفته وحدت درست میکند. اونا میگن ایران داره تفرقه میندازد.
They say that we are Muslims and want to achieve unity. Iran holds a week of unity, yet they say Iran is sowing discord. Some of their radio stations said that Iran is sowing discord. Iran has held a week called Unity Week, yet they say it is sowing discord. Iran says, oh, you billion Muslims in the world, become united and do not let these superpowers do injustice to the world. They always say Iran this, Iran that, so that they do not let Iran utter a single word. Anyway, the claim of those who say we are followers of Prophet Moses and the claim of those who say we are followers of the Prophet of Islam are both false. Claims. These are all claims. Actions must be considered. To those who are the supporters of Prophet Moses, we must see how his action was. History has been recorded. The Quran exists. History exists. The Torah exists. And everything exists and has been recorded. Now just come and see what actions you have taken. Actions are self-evident. As for those people who are followers of Jesus, the history of Jesus Christ has been recorded, and they themselves know about it, albeit with some distortions, and people are seeing their actions. Those other people claim they are defenders of atheism. They do not consider anything to be true. Those other people claim they are the advocates of the nation and the masses, yet as far as they can, they strike and hit, kill and lay waste to everything in their path, and you see just what they have done to Afghanistan at present. As for these people who are Muslims, well, the same holds true. They should see the history of Islam. They have access to it. They have access to the Quran, the Prophet's Sirah, way of life. They know about all of these, yet their actions are contrary to it, unlike the action of other common people.
Amalishun ba zid das